Blog Talk Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim, Malik Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected.
Community-wide Shura and AM 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event to strengthen our national intelligentsia and network. Contact underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake this world into a better place.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. We're going to go ahead and open up with Al-Fatiha. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladhina an'amta 'alayhim, ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim walad-dallin. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum. I am your host, Sister Khalida Akbar, welcoming you to another episode of Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Join us each and every Wednesday night, inshallah, as we highlight believers in our communities who use their God-given talents to help remake the world into a better place for all people. We also educate here, and we evaluate ourselves here. And aspiration comes from the inside out. So tonight we are on a series of preparing for Ramadan. And I want you to make note that you attend next week, inshallah, we'll have Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman out of Atlanta and his wife. They're going to share how they are remaking the world into a better place for all people. They were just here for a three-day weekend here in Charlotte. And it was called the African American Muslim History Summit. It took the place of our normal Moral Summit weekend, but we will continue to update you on the events that we have here in our beautiful city, as well as we would like for you to do that as well. So if you would want to share at any point during the broadcast, all you would need to do is press 1, and I will. It puts a little hand up by your name, and I will click on it, and it will open your mic. Engineering is really user-friendly here. It's just as easy as texting, so it's not something very complicated. So, alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen, tonight we are going to be focusing on a Ramadan series. Last week we talked in preparation for Ramadan. Today we're going to hone in on the pillars of Islam. We're going to hone in especially on the first pillar. We have a couple weeks that we're going to be doing this, and again, we will be bringing in guests for next week. It will be from 7 to 8. The guests will come on for that first hour. And then we may have a little discussion, but probably 20 minutes, if that much. But we're going to go right into Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayh. Today we're going to talk a little bit about our five pillars, because we are preparing to have the best Ramadan ever. I just came in the house like 10 minutes ago, and I looked up at that clear night sky and saw that crescent moon. And I just was delighted, because I have a little song that I used to sing with the little children called Crescent Moon. And I just said, you know what, Allah, we are ready, inshallah, and we are going to have, we ask you to bless us, first of all, with the most successful and prosperous Ramadan possible. We are also going to be opening up with the verse from the Holy Quran. And typically when I do that, I just open it up and read wherever my eyes first look at. The first ayat my eyes looked at tonight, alhamdulillah, was, we're going to read Surah 44, and the ayat that I first laid eyes on tonight is Surah, get more light. This is one of my pocket Qurans, and it is a little small writing, alhamdulillah. And so it will be Surah 44, Ayat 43. Alhamdulillah, I believe Allah just inspires us. Try that. I know many of you do that as well. Say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Open up the Quran daily and get your inspiration for that day. There's a message in it. So, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Surely the fruit of the zakkum tree shall be food for the sinners, like the dregs of oil, it shall be in their place, like the boiling of hot water, a voice will cry, seize him and drag him into the midst of hell, and pour boiling water over his head as punishment. Taste this, you who consider yourself the mighty, the honorable, is what you doubted? But those mindful of Allah will be in a safe place among gardens and springs, dressed in fine silk and in rich brocade, and they will face each other, so it will be. We shall wed them to maidens with large dark eyes. They will call therein for every kind of fruit in peace and security. They will not taste death therein, save the first death. Allah will save them from the torment of hell as an act of grace. That will be the supreme triumph. We have made this Quran easy to understand in your own language, so that they may take heed. Wait then, they too are waiting. Sadaqallah Hudabim, surely Allah speaks the truth. And that was smoke in English. Of course, we know that the Quran was written in Arabic, and so that is the English translation, which only gives us a small taste of what it really says in Arabic, okay, because Arabic is much deeper and much more profound in meaning and symbolism and everything else that has anything to do with comprehension. But we know from that ayat, what we can understand is that Allah will be displeased with the people who think they are mighty and honorable and are arrogant. And so we're going to focus a little bit on that tonight about how not to be get that way. And if we see we're getting that way, make dua, seek refuge from the shaitan. Again, remove yourself from things that make you have to put up extra guards and have to act out. You don't have to do anything. But if you feel yourself rising up and you have an attitude of discontent and contempt, make sure you find some solace and peace and focus on Ramadan, okay? So, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. And Allah also always gives us this knowledge in parables. And I love ending on the positive most of the time, all the time, actually. I love the reminders that right after that warning, he also brings us what he does for the believing people. And so that is the beautiful thing. So many times I try to read until I end on a positive affirmation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we're going to take a few PSA breaks, and we will be right back, inshallah, after this station break. Caller will take you when we come back.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preacher Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for supporting the CWSC AM 360 annual Ramadan Telethon, which helps us financially secure our intelligentsia operations. And some of those operations are as follows: the American Muslim 360 Broadcasting Network, Speakers Bureau, Online National Resource Directory, Volunteer Human Resource Network, the Think Tank, College Scholarship Program, Teams, working together, such as with the Learning Lab, Intrafaith and Interfaith Collaborative, Internship and Leadership Development Programs, Ambassador Programs, and International Collaboratives. Please visit us online to see more of the intelligentsia and the annual report. For your mailing in your donation, you can send it to CWSC Inc., Marina Village, 4905 34th Street South, number 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Make your check or money order payable to CWSC Inc. Thank you, and stay tuned for more information on the Ramadan Telethon.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Alhamdulillah, we're going to go to our first caller. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I love our PSAs, and I try to get three in at the top of the hour. And inshallah, we'll bring you some more great information. We're going to go to 314 833. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Mark Shaheed, and welcome to Narrative Aspirations. Brother Mark? Well, your hand is up. I don't know if you were trying to speak or anything, but 314-833, your mic is open whenever you're able to join us. I know he may be multitasking because he's on two different programs, I believe, at this time. Usually he's on IWDM. So we're going to go ahead and ask you to grab your pencil and your pen and be prepared today to take notes on how we are preparing for Ramadan. We're going to look at the five pillars because we believe that the pillars stand us up. We know that pillars are a foundation for a house. They're also a foundation for life, and they're a foundation for us as being a Muslim. The five pillars of Al-Islam, fundamental belief system. And if we stay on that, we have a better chance of being successful. Now, are we still going to be tested? Are we still going to have challenges in life? Of course, because Allah says we were made for toil and struggle. And he says the human being can have nothing except what he or she strives for. And so we have to keep that in mind, that we will have struggles, but be grateful in that struggle, because Allah also reminds us that the believers will win through. So we know that even though we're going through this, there is light at the end of that tunnel. Allah says, as he gives us those parables in the Quran, after difficulty comes ease. If we're good, we receive good, and he will bring us out of any hardship. Okay? He also reminds us, though, to be balanced and realistic, because just like life has consequences, Allah's going to give us consequences if we choose to do things consciously over and over again. He will give us the consequences of those actions. He gives us so many opportunities every day, five minimally, to ask for forgiveness. We know prayer purifies, soothes, and protects, and it's our opportunity to ask for forgiveness. Okay, and between each prayer, if Allah wills, your sins that you did between those prayers will be forgiven. Strive to make your prayers on time if you're at home or you're able. Because if you don't, if you're able, somebody can call you, or if you're working somewhere, trust me, something will come up. If it crosses your mind and you don't act on it, 9 times out of 10, it'll pass you by. Because that happens to me sometimes. I said, oh, I only got 10 minutes to pick up the children from the cafeteria, but I can get my, you know, when I drop them off at the cafeteria, I usually go in the bathroom to make wudu. And so, you know, because then my day usually goes better when I am at school working in that capacity as a teacher. And so I said, okay, you know, but if I start to do it, I said, well, maybe I'll do it just a little later on because I only got 10 minutes. And I want to go ahead and eat a little something and have a few phone calls to make, and I'll try to squeeze it in that last 5 minutes. It never works. So do it on time. Do it when it crosses your mind, because that's when the shaitan either you get a lengthy phone call that you thought was going to take 2 minutes, or, you know, something happens and you got to go pick up the children, and before you know it, you need copies or something, and you don't get to make it until after you go home, and then you're making up a prayer. So we don't want to do that if we don't have to. Again, 314-833, you are open. I see your hand. I don't know if you can hear me or not, but if you're trying to say something, your mic is open. I did open it up. And I'm going to make sure that everybody can hear me as well. Okay? All right. So the first pillar is the Shahada. Okay? The declaration of faith. It is a statement of faith and commitment made by believers that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or wasallam is this servant and his messenger, okay, or the prophet of Allah, okay? The Shahada is better known in the West as the Arabic phrase, okay, that flags I'm not going to read that because that's not what I want to talk about. It goes into deeper. Tonight, I'm going to use more than one resource. The information that I already know from being a Muslim and being raised in a Muslim family. And also, we are using the five pillars that are on the internet. But I want to sometimes it goes a little bit deep into something that we're not really going to get into. So it says Islam, five pillars, and it is the CREST security review. Okay, so inshallah, we're going to talk about what that means. When we take Shahada, we know that we say La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah. And those of you who are tuning in for the first time, I see many people in the queue. And those of you who want it translated, it means that there is no God but Allah. No. First, it starts out with La. No. So it is opposing anything else that's coming forth. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. That's one of the things that we say. When we take the Shahada, we are declaring our faith in Allah, and we believe that that is the part, that is one, that is the way that you become a Muslim. You have to take the declaration of faith, okay? And we're going to break that down a little bit. We're going to go over it, and we're going to talk about it tonight, okay? We want to make sure that people know that when you state those words, that Allah is forgiving you for everything that you've done previously in your life. That's what we believe. That's what we are told, and we believe and stand on what we are told by Allah, and we believe in that. And so once you take that declaration of faith with the imam or the religious leader, you stand up and it's witnessed by other believers. And then once you do that, you go home and you take a shower because you're like a newborn baby. All your previous sins are gone. So you're starting out with a clean slate. And we want to encourage as many people as possible to learn about Islam. Learn for yourself. Go to the masjid. Go to the nearest mosque. Sit there. Listen. Ask for a Quran, or you can either pick one up. Most of the halal markets now have free Qurans. That's where I got the one I have right now. It's the pocket. It's real pretty. It's a little purple one. It's the clear Quran, but I also have the other translations with Yusuf Ali, any other ones. But this is one I take to work. It fits in my pocket. You know, I wanted to share something with you because the beautiful thing about this school year, when I went in, the teacher from last year, she left a Quran in her desk. Now, I don't know if she was studying the different religions because we teach social studies, but that to me was, I just smiled. I said, Allahu Alam. Allahu Alam. That is beautiful. I never met her, but I know that I was, she, from my understanding, she left a little early in the year. And when I was going through the desk and organizing some things, I came across the Quran in her desk, and I was like, Alhamdulillah. And so that to me was a sign that, hey, she's on the right track. Allah's greeting me with the Quran in the desk. And that's huge because that's a school that's been open for many, several years and has many different teachers who have come through there and people. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and look at the Declaration of Faith. I'm going to go ahead and close this mic. And if you have a question or comment, you can go ahead and press one at another time because we cannot hear you. All right. Again, the Shahada is a testimony that Muslims have as a profession of faith. And again, it says there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is his servant and messenger. I used to say wasalam all the time until someone had shared with me is salam, the peace. But, it, you know, we're going to focus on what's important. We're all saying the same thing, and it can be said in more than one way. Okay? All right. And so, as we get ready to recite this. We normally don't do that unless somebody's actually taken the Shahada, but we're going to do it for you tonight here on American Muslim 360 on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. Okay. I hope you guys had a wonderful day. Alhamdulillah, I had a fabulous day, and I am grateful. All right. So, here we go. They are this. We're going to say it in Arabic first. We already said it in English, but I wanted to get the Arabic so we can share it with you, okay? Ashhadu anna la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And again, there's a translation. I bear witness that there is no God but one God, or Allah, because Allah is the Arabic word for God, and that there is none worthy of worship but Allah. And that is what we're honing in on here tonight. There is none worthy of worship but Allah. That is the Shahada. That is what people say when they become Muslim. They get up in front of the congregation, or the Ummah that we say in Islam, which means community, and the Imam, the religious leader, who is Muslim, who is a believer, leads them in taking the Shahada. All right. And so with that said, we're going to put this into practical application. One of the big things about Islam is it is so beautiful. The wording, the Quran, is you heard it. It is so eloquent and it is beautiful. And Allah put it in the Arabic language to preserve its original nature. And that is the beauty of it. We don't have several translations of the Quran. We have translations, but I mean versions. We don't have different versions of the same book. You might have a one or two word translation or translation that's different, but the gist of it is the same. Every Quran has the same information. And Allah did that so it could not be changed, it could not be tampered with, and it can be consistent with everybody. So we thank him for that. When we look at number one, saying that none is worthy of worship but Allah, requires us to not put anything before Allah. We know that idols come in various forms. We had this conversation before. Idols can be anything from your job to your husband or wife, status to your image to the desire to be successful, house, car, material things. It could be any of that. It could even be a mindset that I am better than he, like the shaitan had. And so with that said, we're going to look at how to prevent that. We're going to make sure that we are humble by, first of all, that Shahada humbles us. We know that there is no God but Allah. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a servant and messenger. We also know that Allah is, he's the Almighty, the Sublime. That we can never do anything without his permission. We can never be granted anything that he doesn't allow us to have. We're not calling any shots here. What we are doing is living our life to the best of our ability to make sure that we are pleasing to our Creator. That's what sets you above the rest. Nothing else in this world that we can do that isn't for the pleasure of Allah can give you that clout, so to speak, that people are seeking with your Creator. That is the most important thing. Allah said he loves those who do good. And so we want to do good. One of the things we're going to talk about is doing good. How do we do good? Your good may be, look different than my good. Whatever gift Allah gifted you with, use that to do good. For example, if you're a public speaker, speak words of value. Speak life into people. Yes, speak a word to the right, You don't always have to say things that are good if there is something that needs to be spoken to that is not good. Speak a word to the right, because Allah says when we see a wrong, we're supposed to change it with our hands. Then we're supposed to speak out against it. And if we can't do that, we hate it in our heart. And he says that is the weakest of faith, okay, just hating something in your heart and not being able to do anything about it. And so that, as I was saying that, one of the things that crossed my mind was the war that's going on in the world, in Palestine, in Gaza, in Africa, and other parts of the country that aren't really being highlighted that much, in Israel. We want to make sure that we are making those prayers. We're hating it in our heart. But if we have an opportunity to make a difference, to impact it by signing a petition, by sending money, by, praying for world peace, by giving and talking and speaking out of, against any type of oppression, we should do it, because that is doing something other than just hating it in our heart. So what I want to do is just be keep it real simple tonight. We were fired up last week. We are fired up again this week, because Ramadan is 30 days once a year, and that's it. And so we're clearing our mind, our body, and our spirit. We're focusing in on those pillars that are going to give us a solid foundation to go into Ramadan successfully. And tonight we're talking about our declaration of faith, our shahada, our belief that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or wa sallam, is his servant and his messenger. And so how do we live that in our lives? What does that look like to you in your life? If you believe that there is only one God but Allah, you're going to do what? You're going to make your prayers. You're going to avoid things that Allah does not want you to do. You're not going to put somebody else's ideologies over the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you are not going to consistently be in environments that are counterproductive to you being the best Khalifa that you are supposed to be. When I say that there is no God but Allah, I look at the things that I do. Am I making my prayer on time as much as I can every day if I have the opportunity? Did I give charity when I had the opportunity? Am I taking care of my family? These are things that Allah tells us that we should do. And some of this is really common sense. If you are a believer of any faith tradition, we know good because we know that God has created all human beings in the most excellent mold. This is what he tells us. And he also tells us that he gave everyone a moral compass or a conscience. So there's some things that are innate for human beings. We know when we do wrong, and we know when we do right. And so tonight we just want to talk about doing the right thing as much as you can. We know we're not going to do the right thing all the time. We strive to do the right thing all the time with the intention of doing the right thing. And Allah says he blesses that intention. That is beautiful. Just the mere intention that I intend to do this. You state it to yourself. You state it to Allah. You state it to whoever you're going to be interacting with, or whatever organization you're working with, or whatever you're trying to do. If it's a personal goal, state it. Make dua over it, which is a prayer, and state it to yourself. Write it out and strive to do that. And you have that much more success. Inshallah, again, if it's the will of Allah, we have no power, no authority that Allah doesn't give us. We're going to go to our phone lines. If you have a question or comment, you can press 1 at this time. We're looking at 314-8333. 314-833, you're stuck on the mic. I don't know what's going on with that, but we're going to keep moving here. All right, so if you intend to share anything, go ahead and raise your hand at this time, because I need to know how many people are going to share. What I want you to share is what the shahada means to you. Even though that you're already Muslim, many of you that I see here tonight, what does it mean to you? How are you implementing those words in your life on a daily basis? We need to make sure that we know what the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad is, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does he do, or what would he do in certain situations? The only way we're going to learn that is by reading his sunnah. And reading is at the fingertips. If you don't have the book of the sunnah, Google what Prophet Muhammad's sunnah is. Google something. Learn something every day. We are taking no excuses. We are not looking up for somebody to bring us up to par in our religion. We know that we are intellectual beings as well as spiritual, and we know that we have to own our own growth and development. Own your own growth and development, and even in religion. Okay? We know that there are people who are scholarly in the religion. Yes. We listen to them. We learn from them. They explain things, but we also have the ability to look into the Quran and get a meaning, get a message for our own soul. Don't depend on someone to give it to you. It is your responsibility to learn your religion, okay? If you're new, we understand, just like if you're new at a job, but you're going to assert yourself. You're not just going to sit there because, you know, if you just start a job and every time they come around, you're sitting there asking them, what's next? What's next? You're not going to have that job very long, and you may not be very successful at it. So take that same initiative when you're going into any new endeavor, especially in religion, because this is your life here. And this is not only going to make great deposits into your life now, it's going to create greater deposits in the hereafter. And we know that I don't care how much money you have, what race you have, I never seen anybody escape death. How elite you are, what social class you are, everybody is going to return to Allah, right? I haven't seen it. And we know that we are, because we are human beings. So none of that's going to help us. No money, not owning your own business, not aspiring to go higher, not climbing the educational ladder and getting your doctorate. Yes, those are things that Allah blesses us to do in degrees. But at the end of life's journey, where are we going? Back to Him. So we got to look at, and nothing's going to be able to stop it. No love in the world. You can have somebody that loves you to pieces, but all they're going to be able to do is pray for you if you're returning to Allah before them. And so I need you to know that we love you. That's why we are sharing this information with you, and we're speaking to ourselves as well. We need these gentle reminders of what's important, because the world can try to come at you with different things. And many of us, after a certain age, I think we're less distracted, but we still have family members that need our support, and we're still humans. Nobody's going to ever reach a plateau here. Once you think you reach that plateau, that's when you start having problems. Like, I'm good. I don't need this. I don't need that. Yes, you need the Quran. You need to pick it up every day. You need to seek refuge from the shaitan, because he's looking for people who are on the sirat, because he told us he's going to lie and wait for us on the sirat al-mustaqim. What do you think that is? It's somebody who's trying to get up and make their prayer. It's somebody who's trying to make Jumma, even if it's on Zoom. It's somebody who's trying to give a kind word, be honest, live a clean life, make a healthy, clean living. That's the sirat. It's not a pie in the sky somewhere. When you're and somebody who's getting married and going into that Garden of Eden with their wife and husband, starting from fresh, a beautiful thing, that's when the Satan's going to come out. He's going to try to get them to get that apple, get them out of the garden as much as possible, arguing and fussing and fighting, because that's one of his greatest glories, to break up marriages. So we need to be prepared, and we need to realize that even though it seems like life is peaceful and we're just peaches and cream, we're smoothing through a lot of times, because Allah does give us peace. Your prayer brings you peace. Muslims have a peaceful life in general. When they're living right and being around people who have high morals, they don't have to be all Muslim, and where they're contributing to their work environment in a positive way. And if it's a work environment with people of like minds and like nature that you're able to navigate in and that you are able to make an impact in, you're going to get a blessing from that, because people receive that. Good recognizes good, and I know you've heard that before, whether it's Christian, Muslim, Jehovah's Witness, Jewish, and any other faith tradition. Okay? I don't want to leave anyone out, but I know that there are many faith traditions in our world, and we're talking about all of them today here on the number one station. Yes. All right. And so, again, that was one of the ways that you are going to live your shahada. The next way that you're going to live your Shahada is that you are going to strive to model that in your life with your children. You want your children, as they grow, to continue making their salat, to continue going to the masjid, to continue being the best believer that they can be. After a certain age, it's up to them, and we pray to Allah to give them a pure heart, continue to guide them to the Sirat al-Mustaqim, to keep Satan out of their path, to bring them back to the Sirat al-Mustaqim, if that's what the prayer that needs to be prayed. We keep our children in dua, but we continue to model it for them. And especially in the month of Ramadan, it's a great opportunity to have dinner every night or invite them to iftar. Make sure you're getting up, making a call to prayer. They see you praying. It's not for them, but when they learn what they live, even as adults. Don't think that they're not paying attention, because they are. The moment you miss it or you get up late, which you shouldn't, you know, most of us, because it can happen, we're human, but we shouldn't be doing it on a regular basis, inshallah. If so, we need to work on that, and we'll talk about that. But going to bed early, you got to find a strategy, because that prayer is important, and the angels are descending, and Allah gives out extra blessings. That's how you get in his favor. Hey, we network all the time, but if you are in Allah's favor, nothing can compare to that. Because when Allah is with you, who can be against you? But when Allah is against you, whoa, buddy, you and everybody hanging out with you might get it, right? So we want to make sure that we're on the right path and on the right side of things. And so, again, the next thing I want you to write down is modeling appropriate Muslim behavior, and not that you're, you know, be natural with it. If you do something all the time, you don't have to think about it. Make sure that you're getting up on time for prayer. If you're not, work on that. And I know I have a routine that I like to do. I like to make sure I'm going to Allah in the most purest form. I like to get a shower and, you know, do all that before I make prayer. So I have to go to bed a little earlier so I can get up early. But I do make my prayer most of the time before the sunrise, most of the time. And it used to be all the time. But recently it's a few times that I'm working on, and I'm asked Allah for forgiveness for that. We're being transparent here, because I just feel like I got to get in the shower, brush my teeth, get all oiled up. But Allah doesn't say that, does he? You know, he says, get up, brush your teeth. You can make wudu, and it's accepted, you know, unless you're having intercourse. And, you know, and that's not something that I'm doing at this time. So I'm going to, inshallah, get up a little earlier, because I like to be on top of everything. I like to go to Allah. I know what I like in my purest form. And so I need to go to bed a little earlier, which I'm able to do now. And mashallah, get up for tahajjud. I've been doing that too. And then also making your fajr prayer when it first comes in. Get on in there when it's first coming in. Don't be the last one that makes prayer right before sunrise. Hey, you might have missed some blessings. That might be the day that Allah says, hey, my servants are up. They're striving. I'm going to bless all of them. Each and every one of them with every dua they make, and their children and families. And you just slept in that day, right? So we don't want to miss out on his blessings and his favor. And we are going to go ahead and take a short station break. And we see so many of you in the queue. Tonight we are preparing for Ramadan. We're toning it down a little bit. And even in our voice, we're going to be a little more quieter, right, during the month of Ramadan. We're going to create an ambiance atmosphere of peace and serenity in our house, even if it means taking everything to the Goodwill and getting rid of it. If you don't have anywhere to put it, just donate it. That's blessings. If you're shopping often, don't stop shopping. You're going to fast from shopping. Anything that you're doing over the top, stop, because that's where we talk about there's no God but Allah. That can become an unconscious idol, a God. So look around your house. I'm asking you to take a self-assessment right now. What do you need to stop doing this Ramadan that you didn't stop last Ramadan? Go ahead and start preparing. We're in Shaban, right? The month of Shaban. We're going to go ahead and start preparing now. Got a whole lot of extra clothes, ladies? Donate them to the Goodwill. Take them to the masjid. You know, we can't just take things to the masjid because we don't want it cluttered. But, I mean, if it's something nice, if you, like I said last week, get one for you, put one in the masjid. Once another sister might need it. Get those blessings. Allah's going to, he's going to give it 10 times back during the month of Ramadan. And he's so merciful. He's looking for us to pour our hearts out to him. Get ready. Get set. and we're going to go, inshallah. We'll be right back after this station break.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preacher Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab, here on AM360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
All right, so one of the things I want to talk about is, in not putting anything before Allah and knowing that there is no God but Allah, is being in situations that constantly put pressure on you, or being in situations where you are, we want pressure. We know some pressure is good because it brings out a jewel, right? When you put pressure on jewels, they shine brighter. I'm not talking about a complacent, docile lifestyle, because that's not going to bring out the best in us, right? We want peace. We want tranquility, but we also want balance. We got to get up and do something, even if it's 10 push-ups, you're cleaning your house one room at a time, or the bathroom, or start cleaning now and decluttering if you have to. But, I mean, situations that put undue pressure and stress on you, because you cannot think with a calm spirit. You may lash out, you may holler, and then it can also become so overwhelming that that's the focus of your Ramadan, and you don't want that. Again, we don't want to put any gods before Allah. Anything that we allow to persistently occupy our mind space, our time, our spirit, our emotions, even if it's eating. You know, some people are emotional eaters, and I really recently, a couple years back, heard that term. It said a lot of people are overweight because they eat emotionally. But I think it means, and correct me if I'm wrong, like if you're upset about something or you're not really paying attention to what you're eating, you know, you still get a craving for. I had a principal one time, and she was very slim, and she generally ate salads and green beans and things like that. But I remember her leaving work one day. We had a rough week, and she said, "Miss Akbar, I'm going to get me some fried chicken." She said, "I'm going to get me some fried chicken. That's what I want. I'm craving it. I had a rough week, and I want me some fried chicken, some collard greens, and some mac and cheese." And I was shocked because I'd never seen her eat like that. She said, "Yes, it's one of those weeks." She said, and she just kind of laughed it off. But I thought about that. I said, she said, "Hey," she said, this week hit me so hard, I got to go back home." And she was talking about in her, and even in her habits, which was, and it's okay if it's not every day, you know, but just, you know, we want comfort when we have situations that constantly pressure us. And so we want to make sure that we're not putting ourselves in those environments unconsciously. If there's something you can't avoid, that you recognize that you're in that stressful phase, and you have strategies that you put in place to let you know that, hey, I need to step back from here, or I need to take 10 breaths and then proceed with this, or I need to call in some help, have a conversation with a family member, whatever that you need to do. Or maybe I need to, for 30 days, go stay with another relative, go take care of my mom. She got a peaceful house. I mean, we have to be innovative when it comes to not just Ramadan, but our lives in general, and not hurting anybody or making people feel like, well, you know, it's Ramadan, forget you, I'm going to do me, you know. I remember back in the day, you know, that's a young way of thinking, you know. You don't want to, because I said something last week. First of all, let me finish what I'm saying. You don't want to make other people feel that they're less than because you're going after your deen hard, like a lot of the young adults say, or you're striving to get rid of any bad habits. You want to make this the best Ramadan ever, but you also want to respect people in their personal spaces, because Allah says not to walk around arrogantly on the earth. And even in striving to do good, if we're not careful, the Satan's waiting for us to get fed up one day and just say, you know what? you break into my Ramadan. So I will see you in 30 days. You know, we can all go there if we want to. But we want to make sure that we don't put ourselves in those positions, because what we say can also break our fast, okay? Because we don't know, number one, how much Allah loves someone. We don't know what people have actually went through in their lives, why their behavior is like that. And so we are not the ones to always make that change. We model appropriate behavior. And, yes, put yourself in another environment if you need to, but don't demean. If you get to that point, because I know we're human, astaghfirullah, take a deep breath, give the person the greetings, the salams, and then, you know, don't leave them with the feeling that they're just anything less than a good human being, okay, because that could break your fast. The one thing about Allah tells us that he's very just, and he doesn't just see we can only sometimes see our own struggle. We're so engulfed in surviving sometimes in our own family and our own principles and things. Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, sees everybody. He sees the past, the present, and the future. So that's why sometimes you be like, people look at people and say, well, how did that? You know I'm a good person. And that person did this, this, and this, and this. But, you know, that is not for us to judge. You keep doing what you're doing. Let Allah handle the rest. Because Allah blesses, number one, whom he pleases, and Allah has a purpose for all of us. We're going on, whether we know it or not, we're going to follow the path that Allah has prescribed for us if we are strong enough and we stay connected with our Creator and our deen, our religion, whatever faith tradition that is for you. And tonight we're talking to Muslims because we are talking about Ramadan here. And you let him do the rest. We're not going to be able to see into anybody else's heart. And so we have to be careful for what we say and do. Because what does Allah tell us? He said he is the hand by which the believer strikes. And sometimes you can think you're just so right because you do, you know, we want to be careful from being self-righteous. That could be it. That's Satan. When you get to the point where you're just so self-righteous, even though you're striving to do things right, you want to be humble in that striving. You want to be humble in that service. You want to take some time out, because I get frustrated too sometimes. I'm like, listen, this is not it. This can't be it. And then I have to watch what I say, because people are listening. People have feelings, you know, and then you've stepped on somebody's toes and they look up to you. They may be striving to be good and then they just can't do that. And so just astaghfirullah, close your mouth at that time, count to 10, ask Allah, first pray for yourself. Allah, make me stronger. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Forgive me if I said anything displeasing to you. Make me be able to see past the situation in this moment and be the servant that you want me to be. If this is unhealthy for me, displeasing to you, remove me and put me in a better environment so I can better serve you. If this is where I am supposed to be, give me the strength, the wisdom, the knowledge, and the demeanor, and the support system to be able to handle this better. Okay? And so that is a good dua that you can also say. We want to make sure that we're writing duas, making your write your duas. You can make your own duas. Remember we discussed last week, the part of a good dua, we looked at the prayers of the prophets, and as you look in the Quran, when Moses, when all the prophets were praying, each one of them, they would always acknowledge Allah in that characteristic that they're looking for him. Again, I used Shifa last week. Oh Allah, you are the hearer of all. You are the healer. You grant Shifa. You are the most magnificent. You know, the gracious, the kind, Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim. Then you go in and ask him for his mercy. You go in and ask him for his shifa. But make sure that you acknowledge that he is Al-Akbar. You are the greatest. Help me overcome this obstacle. Make it relevant to what you're asking for. Pull out those attributes of Allah and use them. You can make your own duas. If you notice when the prophets did that, Allah says, and we answered those prayers. And we answered those prayers, right? Even when Moses was asking for someone, because he was saying that he had an impediment in his speech, he asked them to have, you know, send some his brother with him. He's acknowledging that Allah has the power to do anything, and we have to be able to do that. We have to be able to pray with excellence. Allah wants excellence from us. He said we should strive for excellence in all that we do. What does a Muslim do? He or she strives for excellence. Whatever, what the Prophet Muhammad said, Sayyidahu alayhi wa salam, or wa salam. He says that whatever a Muslim does, he or she seeks to perfect it. And most of you know that. It's almost like, you know, we're just we're revisiting things that we already know. We're sharpening our pencils, so to speak, as a teacher. And you're getting ready to put them into practical application because you're going to write a book for 30 days. That at the end of that 30 days, it's going to be closed, okay? And so, of course, inshallah, we'll still be working, but that will be your Ramadan until the next year. And so that's why we're focusing so much on that. And I want you to have, and I want for my brother and my sister what I want for myself. And I want for myself the best Ramadan that we can ever have. We say that every year. We can only get better, inshallah. We don't want to do anything other than succeed in this. If you have a question or comment or you want to share, go ahead and press 1 at this time. All right, so I think we are good. I think we are really, really good. All right, so those of you who are still hanging out and listening to me, I know there are so many things that you could be doing. And if you have to go, that is so fine. I want you to make sure that you tune in, though, to something constructive, okay? Tune in, and you can always go back to listen to this recording and many others here by going on am360.org and do that, okay? Go on am360.org, and you can play back any of the broadcasts that we have here on American Muslim 360, okay? Again, next week, stay tuned. We will have, inshallah, Imam Rashad. I was able to get a confirmation from him today and his wife. They are doing some phenomenal things. They are putting business into action, and they will share their business with you. I love the way they're working together, and I see a lot of that trending here among our young adults, and that's what we want. That's what we modeled in many of our communities, but we really want to see more of our couples working together because it brings out the best in our community. We will be able to do it twice as fast if we got both parts working, the male and female component working together to build our communities and make them into the model communities that they are supposed to be. All right? All right. So with that said, we are going to talk a little bit more about practical application. What does that look like in a person who is striving to have not only the best Ramadan, but really wants to accomplish their goals during the month of Ramadan? We know that our energy may be a little less because we're fasting, so go ahead and get you a good diet regimen. My suggestion is to plan out a weekly menu. You have 4 weeks. You can rotate those items. And, of course, during the weekend, if you do go out for iftar, make sure that you get a variety of food there because you don't want to eat the same thing all month. Allah doesn't tell us to do that. But he does say eat moderately, so you can go ahead and plan your meals, right? Go ahead and plan healthy meals. If you know you're going to be working or coming in late, go ahead and get preparation done. You can pre-prep your meals for the week. Make sure you have your vegetables, right? Because that's part of worship, taking care of your body and eating healthy. Okay, Allah gave us a brain. He don't want us to go in like we're coming out of the desert, dehydrated. If you know you haven't been drinking enough fluids, go ahead, get those fluids in. Get you some water. I brought some water today that was so good. It was called Essentia. I thought it said Essential, but it didn't have the L on it. So it's either Essentia or Essentia with a T-I-A at the end. It was delicious. If you ever go by a convenience store and you need water, get that brand because it was pure. I could tell it tasted so good. That was the best water I ever had. And so, but anyway, make sure that you have your water ready because the most important thing we can do while we fast is drink good water. water that our cells can absorb, not the other waters that are been out for a long time. Many of them, for I heard, had, and I don't want to put the name brands out there, but I heard they have chemicals in them. Okay. And we don't want to drink those chemicals. Some even have, I've heard plastic, from everything from plastic to metal in these bottled waters. We can't see it, but be careful. Make sure it's not something that you are unaware of, okay? So, again, we're going to get ready to go. Let me see what time it is. Yep. It is time for Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Alale. And I know many of our callers call in to hear him. I do, too. He's always on point and ready to go. So tonight we talked a little bit about the first pillar. Each week we're going to talk about our pillars until we get through to the fifth one. And let's recap for tonight. We talked about Shahada being a declaration of faith, and it states that there is no God, because we already know these objects, people, places, and things, these idols are coming at us, money, status, titles, communities, jobs, houses, appearances, looks, body, whatever you, we want to be beautiful. We want to have those things. That's good. Keep them in perspective. They're temporary. When we leave here, all we can take with us is our actions, our deeds, our prayers. And we want to have somebody back here who can pray for us. So get one of your children, if not all of them. Strive to make sure that you are, whether they're responsive or not. Don't ever give up on having them pray with you, even if it's just a hand prayer. Reiterate that. If they're spending the night at your house, if they're young, if you have still young children, or even if they're older, play the Quran down low and ask Allah to enter their hearts. Don't ever give up. And it's not something that takes a lot of energy. Just like you go to the refrigerator and get a bottle of water, just make sure you have that plan. If you don't, you know, have it already plugged up, have your computer charged already in the hallway, anytime everybody goes to sleep, put it on low. Have YouTube, Dua for Success. It'll come on and it'll play all night. Or sometimes it plays Dua for Shifa, Dua for, you know, Allah's favor. They're all on YouTube. And I thank Allah for that. And we thank Allah for the people who have the wherewithal and the consciousness to be able to recite and put them on YouTube for other people to be able to use them. And also remember, you can make your own duas. But do little things. Post little prayers up in your house, just like you brought those little knickknacks. You can make your own prayers, or you can get some custom made. They don't cost much with prayers on them. If you search the internet and you want to have more Islamic wall hangings, because we don't want any pictures in places that we pray, put those back in the family room or somewhere out of sight, out of mind, because they're not supposed to be in your prayer room. And that just reinforces that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. We don't want any human images. We don't have any human images of God. And so we don't pray in rooms that have humans on the wall. And so with that said, we're going to wrap it up. We also talked about, you know, just putting things into practical application, watching what we say, controlling our environments as much as we can, and having a plan that we don't lose our cool, and we increase in taqwa. We don't lose our cool. We keep our moderate tone. And we keep our peace. Let's close out with a dua. Oh Allah, give us the excellence in this life and the excellence in the life of the hereafter, and protect us from the torment of the punishment and the punishment of the hellfire. Ameen. We're going to go ahead and play PSA and listen to Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Allah Alay.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preacher Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab, here on AM360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
With the name Allah, most gracious, most compassionate, we extol him on the gift of Muhammad, the last and universal prophet. We pray peace and blessings be upon him, upon his descendants, his companions, the righteous all. Ameen. And upon us be peace. Dear brother Imam, it is an honor for me to address you by telephone hookup on this second day of our 10th year anniversary observance of celebration. First, let me say that this religion is the main interest in our lives if we are imams. The main purpose for us being in this particular involvement is to represent the religion of Al-Islam as it is revealed in the Quran, the book of all Muslims on this planet Earth, and to reflect to the best of our ability the principles, the behavior, the excellence of human nature after the model of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, of whom Allah says in the Quran, that he is the most excellent model for any who believe in God and in the last day. Let me quickly call your attention to the community interest that we should have as Muslims and that we should always champion as imams. When Prophet Muhammad was blessed by Allah to establish a small community governed by the Quran under his leadership in Medina, the first thing that he did was build a masjid. But we must understand that the masjid was not only a place for prayer in the beginning of the Islamic community under the Prophet, but it was also a place that served as a school or school setting, and the Prophet was the first teacher, peace be upon him, and it also served as a community center where the affairs and the needs of the community were addressed. So then we should understand that all of the other institutions, important institutions, grew out of that mosque or masjid environment that Prophet Muhammad established when he was given invitation and accepted invitation to establish the Islamic community in Medina. When we study the life of Prophet Muhammad and the history of Prophet Muhammad, peace and the blessings be on him, we don't find him being a president of a corporation or one directly responsible for the business activities are one directly responsible for agricultural activities. We don't find him being one directly responsible for anything except delivery of the message, the Quran, its teaching, its explanation, and the demonstration of that knowledge and the values and principles contained in the Holy Book in his own life. So we find him being a teacher, a warner and a teacher, and a model of what God has sent for all men. We do not find him accepting direct responsibility for the business life or the material life of the people. In fact, we have in the hadith where people ask the prophet about their agricultural situation or a need, and the prophet gave advice to them because it was asked of him, not that he was heading a department of agriculture. And later, the people came complaining that his advice had not produced the expected results. And he told them to go on then doing as you had been doing before, and that is, disregard what I told you. Go on and do what you had been doing before. Now, I have studied that hadith, and I'm convinced that the prophet was addressing something else, and the wise who heard his address would have understood that he didn't mean to carry it out literally what he said, but he was giving them an understanding of something else. And what he said was that they should not put manure or dung, that kind of fertilizer, on the plant. And when they followed his advice, they didn't get the yield that they expected, so they came back to the prophet and complained. And then the prophet told them, well, continue to do as you were doing before. And many imams and students in the religion, they conclude that that message is saying to us that the prophet was given the knowledge to lead us in spiritual matters, but not in material matters. And that's a terrible mistake. The prophet was given the knowledge to lead humanity in every matter, in every interest. But they misunderstood his wisdom when he said, do not dung the plant. For life, human life itself, is compared to a seed, and the cultivation of human life is compared to the cultivation of a garden. That's the one you don't know. And there's very clear language in the Quran supporting what I just said. Thank you. I was thanking the brother for bringing me some tissues. It's a little warm in cold Chicago today. But it's nice down here. It's cool down here. I was sweating upstairs there. Now, let me continue. It's not that the prophet didn't lead the people and direct them and advise them in the matters of business, but he did not accept responsibility for the conduct of business, for the run of the business. Every person was free to go into business as they had done before the prophet began preaching. But there was a business ethic, or laws for the purification of the business environment. And we know that if you don't have such laws, the business environment will be taken over by corruptors, by greedy people who care nothing about anything but making a profit. So the prophet, as the leader
for the humanity and leader of the Muslims, he led the ethical movement for business. That is, he led the Muslims into proper business ethics. But he did not take over business like the Communist Party has done, or like some others have done, like business has done in the communities of the little people. But he left business open and free for all to engage in. And the people were to exercise Islamic knowledge and Islamic principle in the spirit of the religion, so that they would always conduct the business in a proper way that would not break the peace or corrupt the land. Again, the Prophet himself was a businessman before he was given the office of prophet. He was dealing in commerce, trading, and he worked for the noble lady, may God be pleased with her, Khadijah. Who became his wife after some time serving her in business or as a business representative. And the Prophet, peace and the blessings be upon him, did not stop being a businessman. The Prophet bought property. He benefited from the property. He supported his family from the property. He did not stop being a businessman. But this is only a small part in the Prophet's life, for the Prophet was the leader for all people, and we are not to look at him as a private businessman, but as a leader for business and everything else, for the whole society, or the whole world for that matter, but particularly for the Muslim community or society. The Prophet didn't expect taxes or zakat and taxes to take care of all of his relatives. In fact, he said that the charities are not for my relatives. That relatives, his relatives were not to have access to the charities. And upon his passing, peace and the blessing be upon him, none of his relatives were able to inherit any of his of the monies that he was trustee over. Whatever they had earned as private people, private individuals, that was theirs. Whatever assistance he had given them from the community treasures or the zakat, that was theirs. But they had no right of inheritance. This is hadith. This is sound hadith. They had no right of inheritance. They could not inherit zakat, charity. Therefore, they were left at the mercy of the community just in the, at the passing of the Prophet, just as they were when the Prophet was living. They could not dictate or tell those who had then had responsibility for charity or zakat how to distribute it. They could not demand a share in it. As imams, we are following the imam. Muhammad the Prophet is the imam. So none of us can favor our relatives from zakat. None of our relatives can inherit zakat or inherit any masjid property or any community property. It's forbidden. If we want to establish ourselves materially, if we choose to follow this religion and to follow Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, then we are going to do exactly what Muhammad and all good industrious men do, find a way to go in business on your own. And build your own private business, then that's yours, it's personal. You can give it to your children, you can give it to your wife, you can do what you want with it. I'm not dictating to you, I'm merely advising you as your imam. The material concern cannot be left out of the Imam's responsibility. The worst damage we could do to our own office, our own role as Imam, is to follow the silly notion of many people in religion that the business of religion is afterlife and spiritual matters. No, the business of religion for us is community, man's life as God intended for it to be. And that's best understood when we see the needs of man in a community setting. God says you are a community. You are one community. And he says that you are the best community, raised up for all people. That is, raised up to be a model of what God wants for all people on earth. We can't be a model for all people if we are only going to pray, take care of spiritual needs and spiritual matters, and leave the responsibility for promoting business and material growth to other people, lead a community of sheep that want nothing but a quiet place away from all the trouble. That's not Al-Islam, and that shouldn't be the image for the Imam. We turn now, in the concluding of this introduction, to the matter that I have to present to you today by going to the chapter of the Quran. It's titled the Jummah. Just a moment, give me a moment here to put on my glasses and find the reference.
من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع. In English, the translation is given here. O you who believe, when the call is proclaimed to jump to prayer on Jummah on Friday, and is given in brackets here the day of assembly, the day of assembly, hasten earnestly to the remembrance of God and leave off business and traffic, that is, and traffic in such matters. That is best for you. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. That is best for you if you but know, if you but knew. Now in this verse, the ninth verse, God is pointing out to us our priority. Obedience to God is above worldly gain. However, there is a requirement, and God brings that to us. Now let's read the 10th ayah, a verse. فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And when the prayer is concluded, then may you disperse through the land and seek of the bounty of God. Now, God says, first things first, do your duty to God. Put him above the business gains. But after you have done that, then disperse you, go out into the ways of profit. That's what God has said. And he tells us, he doesn't just say, you're free to go back, but he says, wabdahu, which means search for it. How many of you all are searching for some profit? However, that kind of involvement will put you back under the influences that may cloud your mind and take you away from the remembrance of God, right? So God comes behind it, before and behind. Before, he said, put this duty to worship me before worldly gain. And then he says, go out and seek worldly gain. Seek the prophets in the world. But he comes behind it and say, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And reflect on God much that you may be successful. So this is the proper vision in al-Islam. This is the proper vision in al-Islam for Muslims and for the Muslim community to capture in one focus. This is in one focus, isn't it? God has put in one focus the spiritual need and the material need. He has put it in one focus. So the obligation then for us is to keep this in one focus as imams, who are supposed to be leading the congregation, to keep these in one focus, the spiritual needs, the devotional needs to God, and also the material needs, knowing always that God is preferred to worldly gain. Praise be to Allah, who has revealed the truth and the perfect guidance. We can't come up with better. It's been tried for ages. They have never done it. Never will. Dear beloved Imam, praise be to Allah. I feel very good today. We return now to the masjid community, the masajid, the masjid, the masajid of the masjid, where you reside as imam, in what I used to refer to as the American Muslim Mission, but I've dropped that language, as you perhaps have heard. It's up to you to keep up whatever you like, because I'm not responsible for your affairs.
this is the way that I believe Allah intended it to be, and I would invite you to take the same position. As resident imam, you are to do the same thing the Prophet did, the peace and blessings be on him. The best imam will be the imam that keep the Quran before the people and keep the Sunnah of the Prophet before the people, because Allah didn't only reveal revelation, but he also revealed the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. Yes, indeed. For God says, maybe I should go to it and read it directly from the book. Let's see. 7th chapter, 157th verse. Allah Most High says in his book, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثَ ويضع عنهم إصرهم والأغلال التي كانت عليهم فالذين آمنوا به وعزروه ونصروه واتبعوا النور الذي أنزل معه أولئك هم المفلحون. And those who believe in him, that meaning Prophet Muhammad, and honor him, that means respect Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, and help him. You know it's talking about Muhammad now, because God says in the Quran he needs no help. I mean, and follow the light. That's the Quran, because God says the light is his light, not Muhammad's, which is sent down with him. Didn't say sent down to him, sent down with him. So God didn't reveal just the Quran, he revealed the Sunnah of Muhammad also. Praise be to Allah. Now, this promised one, what it says that he would do in the scriptures that came before, because God has established here in the Quran that this is no new interest and no new promise being fulfilled, but it was given to the people before in the gospel and in the Torah and in the gospel that would occur. Muhammad the Prophet would come, the true liberator, with the light for all time. So of him God says, as it was given in the scriptures before, that he would teach the book and the wisdom. Right? He would teach the book and the wisdom. So imams, what is your obligation? To follow Prophet Muhammad, teach this book, and to teach the wisdom. Don't just teach the book and hide the wisdom from the fools among you. See, I'm afraid if I let them have this, they'll be making too many demands on me. Don't be that way. Allah will get you out of your position sooner or later. To teach the book and the wisdom. And to do what? For you zakkiyam, and to purify them. Huh? And to purify them. So your responsibility is to give knowledge, but also wisdom for making decisions and judgment. For hukmah is wisdom that you need in order to operate a government. It's not just any kind of wisdom. To teach them the book and the wisdom. It means the scripture, the book, and the wisdom that is needed for operating government. And Christian religion isn't the church or government. And hasn't the constitution of this land provided that the Christian government be free to operate upon the Christian doctrine and not be dictated to by any other doctrine or laws? You have the same right as Muslim. You have the right to Islamic government within your masjid and within your Muslim community. As long as that Islamic government does not put in danger or threaten or the constitutional life of these United States. And if this religion was a threat to the constitutional life of these United States, President Madison and others wouldn't have praised it, wouldn't have accommodated its growth, the prospect for it, by saying... President Madison and others wouldn't have praised it, wouldn't have accommodated its growth, the prospect for it, by saying noble things of the religion and paying tribute to such nations as Morocco. And the very recent President Carter, wouldn't have said to a body of distinguished men that he addressed that we recognize the three great strands of revelation, Judaism, Islam, and Greek Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. So don't think that religious freedom in this country is a monopoly of the church. Religious freedom in this country is for all the great religions. And we're entitled to have our own religious government in our personal lives, in our masjid lives, and to carry that into our daily life. The Muslim is not forced to operate a business in a non-Islamic way. This country gives us the freedom to have halal food, have halal business. It recognizes the demand on the religious adherent coming in the context or in the content of the scriptures. But then you should take up that responsibility, assist the individuals who are struggling to establish business, encourage that kind of industry on the part of the members of your community. Recognize excellence, good standards in business, or good business practices when you find them among the members of the community or among the members of your master, and encourage the members of the masjid or the community to support all whether it be messed-up property, school building, private businesses operated by individuals, Allah has obligated us to respect, honor, and protect the interests not only of the masjid, but also of the members, the Muslim brothers and sisters. Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessings be on him, he said, your brother's blood and his property is sacred. And he said that during his farewell address. During that address, he attended the most important issues for the Muslim community. So if he addressed that need to respect and not violate the person, the life, the blood, or the property of your brothers, then you know the importance of supporting business investments by members of the community. I have found from experience that when you preach this religion in its true spirit, the spirit of openness and honesty, freedom, God is with it. He blesses that community. And what you were fearing, God takes care of it. Say, well, we don't want them to take their monies and put it into business and do these things. We need that money into charity. I can't pay the rent. I can't pay the phone bill this month. So fearing that you won't have money to pay phone bill or rent or whatever, you will discourage the members of the community from investing in things outside of the masjid. That's short-sightedness on the part of the imam, the leader. I have found from experience that when you encourage industry and the membership on the part of the individual person, they come back to you with more zakat. A lot of you all are Christians, and you know it says cast the bread on the water. It'll come back to you. Praise be to Allah. And we must understand too that the zakat is much bigger than our charity needs as imams or as leaders of a masjid following our community. Zakat is so big and so broad that if we were in a situation to be responsible for the land, the nation where we are, this government, zakat would also become the tax for this government, wouldn't it? So zakat is much bigger than the area of interest that you have as leader of just a masjid community, our masjid population. So you should understand then that you are to promote zakat by promoting industry in the person, in the individual, in the community. That's how you promote zakat. For how are those people are going to respond to their family needs? Zakat is to take care of the members of your family first. How are they going to carry out the responsibility of zakat if they don't have income? If we have too a great percentage of our men unemployed, how are they going to carry out that great duty, that great responsibility of zakat? They can't do it. The only way for us to realize the materialization of our responsibility to zakat is for us to promote
industry, business, investment, material investment, etc., etc. We have Sadaqatul Eidan, the charity on the two great Eid, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Those are charities too, but they are called Sadaqah, and not Zakat. There are different forms of charity. Zakat is the broadest one, it covers all. But it refers more specifically to the charity that comes from industrious persons, working people, business people, people who are realizing income or profits from their investments or their businesses. That's what Zakat specifically addresses or refers to. Whereas Sadaqah refers to the debt that is given from the heart in the spirit of celebration, where you don't want to see another poor Muslim not having a good dinner like you have on the day of Eid. So you put some money into the central pot or the collection so that those that didn't have any money will still be able to enjoy the Eid just like you. That's Sadaqah, right? Or you will give something to your child. Your child ain't poor. Your child is not needy. But because this is the Eid day, you buy your child a new suit. Huh? Or get him that bicycle. Or get the daughter that dress she's been looking at. So that's Sadaqah too. But Zakat is so broad that Zakat includes giving, imparting knowledge to a person that needs it. Sharing your knowledge with somebody that can benefit from it. Zakat is so broad that it even covers small courtesies. Because the Prophet has called small courtesies Zakat, huh? He says, the Muslim who meets his brother Muslim with a smile, he gives a Zakat, huh? Yes, that's a form of Zakat, that he has a smile to offer. So that word is so big, but we must understand that it very specifically refers to, directly refers to shares that are demanded of a Muslim or a good person from his business investment, from his profits, from his material investment, to come back into the community to raise the level of life, of material life for the total community. So that's an obligation mainly on business people, working people, industrious people. So, well, what about the person that ain't got none? Should we be giving Zakat? I've explained to you, my dear friend, that Zakat is very broad. It also covers that responsibility on the poorest member in the community to give something if it's no more than a nickel. Yes, because God, he points to those that are excellent in that particular principle or that particular virtue. And he says, and they give, whether it's in times that are good or in times of deprivation. Huh? Whether they're doing well or whether they are suffering deprivation, they give. Yes, we should encourage the establishment of community structures, material structures. We should be strong leaders out front, lending our assistance, our moral assistance, contributing to the good morale of the business community. And always remembering that God says, وَابْتَغِي فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Put the hereafter, obedience to God, first.
However, don't forget your share of the material world. Now, isn't that a true liberator? Oh, yes. That's the true liberator. That's Allah. And Muhammad was the living mortal man, the mortal man. Example for the exemplar, exemplary example to us. Purity is a concern for all Islamic community interests. Purity. If you understand the five principles of this religion, upon which this religion is structured, and therefore the very design and structure for the Islamic community life, if you understand those five essentials, those five pillars, you understand that they are really given to the Muslim community in the form of purity. And the obligation upon the Muslim community is to keep them pure and keep religion purely for God. That's the command of God in the Quran, right? How do you keep the religion purely for God? Suratul Ikhlas, Qul huwa Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, Lam Yalid, Wa Lam Yulad, Wa Lam Yakun Lahu Kufuwan Ahad. And it is called, not by any word in the chapter, it is called Suratul Ikhlas. And they give many meanings to Ikhlas, but Ikhlas means purity, purity of text, purity of text, Ikhlas. It means that it cannot be made holier than that. That's what Ikhlas means. Can't be made holier than that. So the beginning of this purity for us is to worship God in the state of purity, not having any inclination to do wrong or to change or alter what God has given, or to take advantage, but to worship as God intends for you to worship. That is the purity of worship, the worship of God. La ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasulullah. The first pillar, La ilaha illallah. Salah, prayer. What is salah? Purification. What is shahada? Purification. What is salah? Purification. What is saum or siyam? Fasting. Purification. What is zakat? Purification. For Allah says, and take something of their wealth that they gain to purify them. Purification. What is hajj? Purification. Thank you very much for the imam. As-salamu alaykum. Thank you, brother imam, and all of the imams. Praise be to Allah. At this time, we would like to take a brief intermission. Those of you on the national broadcast, for our imam, so that our imam can prepare for the national broadcast a little later, which will be a few minutes. Those of you on the national broadcast, if you could hold fast for about 15 to 20 minutes, our imam will be addressing the public within that period of time. Thank you very much.